Let us stand as we read the scripture from Romans, this great text that Paul wrote 2,000 years ago to the church at Rome about the importance of missions, in which he says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will be saved, and they will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Yes. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Ah, how beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim words of happiness, good news, the gospel. That is a quote, of course, from the Old Testament. And Paul is using that in this text to say, the gospel is going forward. And this is a mystery, my friend. Because does God really need us? No, he doesn't, on the one hand. But why does he, in a sense, limit himself to the sharing of the good news through the church? The church is the hope of the world because we have the message of Jesus. And my brothers and sisters, this is the motivation for us to go to the nations, go to the far islands to share the good news of Jesus. For how will they know unless they have heard? That's logical, isn't it? Right? People that have never heard the good news, how will they know the great news found in Jesus unless we go? And how will they know unless someone is sent? How beautiful it is that God sends each and every one of us on mission. Are you on mission today? Do you believe that you are in mission today? My brothers and sisters, wherever we are on mission, sharing the hope that is within us, reflecting Jesus to people in school and at work, in all the various and sundry places that we find ourselves, in our families, to our children, to our grandchildren. That beautiful song about the blessing of the Lord. May his blessing be upon you, to your children, and to your children's children, and to a thousandth generation. That's the promise of God, isn't it? To a thousandth generation of those who love him and keep his commandments. And what is the command of the Lord? The scripture says it very clearly in John. To believe in the one whom he sent. That is the ultimate command of the Lord. To believe in Jesus. To believe in God who came as a child in the incarnation, taking upon himself flesh and bone. He came into our midst so that he could save us. And he saved us not on the basis of deeds that we had done in righteousness, but according to his mercy that he has lavished upon us, the scripture says, in the Son. Wow, what a beautiful thing that is. Now you all know, because you've been praying for me, and thank you, because I've been feeling your prayers as I went to Indonesia. I have the privilege of being the chair of a group in our presbytery. Now, for those of us that are not Presbyterians, basically a presbytery is just a regional association of churches. So there are 35 churches in our regional association. We call that a presbytery. And that presbytery covers this region in western North Carolina and chunks of Tennessee and Georgia. And it's a pretty large area and a small number of churches. Well, our denomination, which is the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, 20 years ago said, we're excited that all of our churches love missions. And believe you me, we've got a lot of exciting mission stuff going on, even in our own church. But they said, wouldn't it be cool if each one of our presbyteries identified a least reached people group? Now we got 23 presbyteries that are covering the whole United States. And it turns out the Presbytery of the Southeast, of which we're part, has not yet, in those 20 years, identified a group of people that we could together reach out to. So we come kind of late to the party, but Jeff Chadwick, who's the chair of our Mission and Evangelism Committee and a former pastor in the church that Glenda and I got married in West Virginia, Bluefield, West Virginia, he came up to me 4 years ago and he said, I'd like you to be on our committee and I'd like you to head up the vision team of Engage 2025. That the goal was, you know, by 2025, that all of our presbyteries would have identified a group of people unreached that we could go to. Well, that moment has come. And we took five people from our presbytery and headed out to Indonesia. Now, the work there, as it turns out, has been ongoing. And in fact, there's a couple people in this congregation right now, the Mitchells, who've actually been to Indonesia and have seen the work there. The idea in Indonesia is it's got some restricted access. Does anybody know what restricted access is? Like, these people over in Indonesia are not really interested in giving visas to people who say, yeah, I'm a missionary and I would like to convert your people to our Christian faith. So what has to happen is they come in under a different type of visa. You know, you could start up a business. And there are many missionaries over there. In fact, I had the privilege of meeting a good group of people that are there, and one guy opened up a coffee shop in the city that he's in, and we had the privilege of having coffee there. By the way, Sumatran coffee, Javanese coffee, is the best. I mean, it's from Indonesia, right? They even... You're shaking your head? You have another place that you prefer to get your coffee from? Is that South America, maybe? Africa? Well, I'm telling you, they got some good coffee over there. And the point is this guy opened up a business. But, you know, truth be told, that's kind of a cover, right? Because what he's trying to do is share his faith with people in Indonesia so that they may come to faith. Now, the most effective strategy that we've found in missions is to identify people within the nation that speak the language and resource them, encourage them, pray for them, challenge them, support them in every and any way to, yeah, make it easier for them to share the hope of the gospel with their own people, right? Because we all know it takes us, you know, Americanos, quite a long time to learn the language. And even if we learn the language pretty well, it's still kind of challenging because these people need to hear the gospel in their heart language. And sometimes we struggle with the vocabulary for that. So I got to tell you about one guy who's a church planter that we met. His name is Daniel. Daniel is married to Emma, and they have a little boy named Gabriel. And they've been married for nearly 20 years, and God blessed them with a little boy, Gabriel, 5 years ago. And this was such a huge answer to their prayers. Emma is a doctor in Indonesia. And she got a scholarship through the Indonesian government to be able to go through the schooling there. But in exchange for that, she had to make a 10-year commitment to work in a government hospital. She's in year 7 of that commitment. Now, as is the case with many doctors in Indonesia, they have their hours in the hospital, and then they open up a private clinic, and they meet with people. And a lot of people, these doctors, that's where they make their real money, okay? But Emma and Daniel have decided that they want to reach out to people who don't have anything. So people come to the clinic and they talk with Emma and they dispense some kind of medical drugs or advice that they need, and they don't have to pay for that. So, of course, that's a challenge. So she is a doctor, but as they say in Indonesia, she's a poor doctor. You know, a lot of people think doctors, oh, they're just making tons of money. But, you know, you can choose a path, even as a doctor, to serve the Lord, as some people in this very congregation have chosen to do. And, you know, it's not all about the money at the end of the day, is it? Right? It's about sensing a calling of God. We sang about that a little bit earlier. I've heard your voice. How many of us really, truly, honestly have heard the voice of the Lord? I would say in my conversations with you all, many of you have heard that still small voice in your heart. This is what you need to do. This is how you need to use your talents, your time, and your treasure. And it's for kingdom purposes. We're not here establishing our own kingdom, are we? Well, the world will tell you. Look out for number one, and guess who's number one? Right? But that's a worldly mentality. And we, who are believers, who are not part of the kingdom of this world, but are part of the kingdom of our Lord and of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, we see in Revelation that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. Well, how will that happen? Of course, through the power of God. But He uses us to accomplish that purpose. God is sending missionaries all around the world to the hard places and, you know, relatively speaking, to the easy places. I think about Rachel and Julian. Julian's Belgian, and he's going to Brussels because he has a heart for his own people. Less than 1% of the entire population of over 11 million people in that country profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It is as spiritually dead, if you will, as many of the other places. Now, in terms of, is it a hard place to live? No, Brussels is a beautiful city. But is it a hard work? It is, because people are so resistant to the gospel. And I pray that as you share your faith, wherever you are, at school or in your professional capacities, that you listen to the voice of the Spirit. Because really, you know, the Holy Spirit is already working in the hearts of people all around you. They're longing for true meaning. They're longing for identity. They're longing for hope. Because we do live in a hopeless world. Listen, if this is all there is, then it's a pretty miserable situation, isn't it? Right? You live, and you die, and then it's over. That's the philosophy of the world. But that is not the philosophy of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's brought us here into this world. He's given us an identity, a purpose in Him. And He's given us a call. And I pray that each and every one of us will be, not just in a general sense, aware of that call for our life, but really when you wake up in the morning, that you have this longing in your heart to say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do today? What is special about this day? What are the encounters that you want me to have? The things that you want me to write? The things that you want me to say? The work that you want me to do? Because, you know, when we do that, then we begin to become more sensitive to the Spirit's moving in and around us. So I pray that we pray that prayer daily. So I had this incredible opportunity to meet with Daniel. Now, I've got to tell you a little bit more about Daniel. Daniel and his wife live in Sumatra in Jambi province. And he can take a boat, a ferry. It's quite a few hours, but he can go up to the island of Batam, where we have a lot of our missionaries living in a big city. And then from there, they go to the islands where we're doing this evangelistic work. Now, I've told you about the business, right? So there's a sea cucumber business, and it's all very complicated. I don't want to get into the details of that, but anybody that's ever farmed, anybody that's ever done any work with animals, you know that it's, you know, challenging to organize a business and then make sure that you know, everything is healthy and strong and that, you know, you result in something that is positive. These people have been working at it for 7 years. And there's we visited this one island, and there's a missionary couple there, and they have gone native. You guys familiar with that term, gone native? So this is Joe and Jen. Jen's from Calgary, and which is near where I grew up in Alberta, and Joe's from near Grand Rapids. He grew up on a dairy farm, and they both have this call to share the hope of the gospel, and he is an incredibly gifted administrator and knows a lot about marine culture. So he's kind of set this up with the rest of the team. He's the man in the field. And so their kids are all learning how to speak Bahasa, the Malay language. And they've gone native. They're expecting their fourth child in June. And, he said to me, he said, it's been tough to figure out just exactly how to multiply these sea cucumbers, okay? Because they're from, larvae in the billions, and everything has to be perfect, and then you transfer them from one tank to the next tank, and then ultimately out into the ocean where they grow into something about the size of a hot dog. And these things are worth their weight in gold, because it's a delicacy and people are willing to pay a lot of money for it. So you understand that the idea is that they start this business, they get people involved that are fisher folk in the community, and then they have an opportunity to share the gospel. Daniel is a church planter, and on that team that is raising these sea cucumbers, they've got like 15 Indonesians. A few of those Indonesians are already Christians. Okay, as I said before, there's 30 million Christians in the country. So they're a small minority compared to the larger group, but 30 million, still a lot of people, right? And so what Daniel is doing is he's coaching these young guys in how to share their faith, and so that they might also become church planters. So, this is a long time. It takes years and years and years. And, as Americans, we want quick results, don't we? It's like instant. Stick it in the microwave, beep, 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 and out it comes. But the work of missions can take years and years and years. And so we need to be faithful, and we need to be patient, and we need to be persistent. And Joe was telling me, he says, in these 7 years, there have been so many times I've just wondered, is this really what you want me to do with my life? Because such precious people in the prime of their life, and here they are, their whole goal is to share the hope of the gospel with people who don't know Jesus. And it can be kind of tough, especially when you go native, right? You all were praying for me, and the worst I got over there was a cold. But living over there in those conditions, there are a lot of things that you can get sick with. And so please continue to pray for our missionaries, that God will put a hedge of protection around them, that they would be able to run and not grow weary, to walk and not grow faint. But it was just so inspiring and so encouraging for me to see so many people that are dedicated to the hope-filled future and the glorious ambition of our lives, that others might know of Jesus, that a church might be born in a place where there is no church, and so that Psalm 96 would become a reality. Let the nations be glad. Let the islands rejoice, because they know of the Lord and they know Jesus. So my brothers and sisters, as we talk about missions, as we support missions through this church, as we pray for our missionaries, let us be faithful in that job and that take that seriously. But also see ourselves as on mission, that each and every one of us is a missionary around the corner, around the world, to our near neighbor and to the nations. Let us pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing work. Lord, that you have said that you want people from every tribe and tongue and nation to know you. Lord, we have heard your call. Lord, send us. Lord, use us. Lord, help us to use our time and our treasure and our talent for the advancement of the gospel. Lord, may we be faithful. May we be found faithful in you. And Lord, we thank you that you have chosen to make us part of your family. And Lord, it is our deep desire that others may also know the truth of the gospel. And we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.